Christian greetings to all of you. It's good to see all of you, and especially Eddie and Esther, and it's just wonderful, and Daryl and Velma. Good to have you here. And as we fellowship together, may the Lord be honored by it. I told Stan this morning, that's a beautiful picture of a cabin or a log cabin, and just the setting it is. There's a song about, Lord, build me a cabin in the glory land. I said, I don't care as long as I get there. If it's just a tent, I'll be happy. But it's a nice picture. But God is preparing a home for us. And we can live with that idea in our thoughts and our heart. I have chosen to preach a message about treasured thoughts. What we think about in life, how we perceive things around us, and also how we look at life as a whole and what makes us tick inside and out. And for a text, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 32, and then also chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and 15 and 20. 15 to 20. Begin reading at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 32. But we have not so learned Christ. If so be that we have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Chapter 5, verse 1, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Jumping to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave off reading there. In a university commencement address several years ago, Brian Dyson, CEO of Coca-Cola Enterprises, spoke of the relation of work to one's other commitments. Imagine life as a game in which you are juggling some five balls in the air. You name them work, family, health, friends, and spirit. And you're keeping all of these in the air. You will soon understand that work is a rubber ball. If you drop it, it will bounce back. But the other four balls, family, health, friends, and spirit, are made of glass. If you drop one of these, they will irrevocably be scuffed, marked, nicked, damaged, or even shattered. They will never be the same. You must understand that. You must understand that and strive for balance in your life. And how do you do that? Well, there's 7 points here I'd like to share with us this morning about that. And thinking about how the Bible tells us, and these are areas in our Christian experience that we should not be afraid to take a hold and be who God made us. But they are areas which the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. And if our lives are committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in such a way that will express what we're going to talk about this morning, we have no fear that things aren't right with God. And I appreciate what Darrell shared this morning. Before Christ, not a one of us is condemned. He came to redeem us and make us a child of God. Because we are a child of God, He is our number one priority expression in our lives. So therefore, point number one is this. Don't undermine your worth. I feel too often we feel like we are out there floating along in a boat alone. But folks, we are in this together. But what I want to get us to understand, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, when it talks about us comparing ourselves among ourselves, we don't become wise doing that. But we must understand that in God's eyes, everybody is here with a perfect expression of what He wants them to be. The personality, the character, and how you are made up. You are special in the eyes of God for that reason. But when we start comparing ourselves among ourselves, we start to lose the concept of what God has prepared in your personal life of how you shall be responding in the kingdom work. And you lose focus of what God wants you to do rather than looking at everyone else and watching. And I want to just illustrate that a little bit. I can remember well back to the day when I was ordained at Indiantown, and there was a man, a speaker came one day, one Sunday morning, and it was Floyd Hackman. Do you remember Floyd Hackman, Eddie and Esther? I don't know if you do. But anyway, I had just been ordained, and Floyd Hackman came, and he was a senior fella, and that guy could preach. I mean, he preached, and he didn't even open his Bible. He knew all the Bible verses, and he expressed the Bible right like it was. And I said, that's who I want to preach like. I'm going to be like Floyd Hackman. I want to be preaching the word. I want to know how to speak it without using looking at the Bible. I'm going to memorize the whole scriptures. Well, folks, it wasn't long. It just didn't work. It just didn't work. I couldn't follow Floyd Hackman. But it taught me a lesson. It taught me that I need to be who God made me to be. And I'm special in His eyes for that reason. I don't care who is here this morning. If you are desiring still in your heart, and there's nothing wrong with seeing pillars in the church that you look up to, and they have offered you a lot in your Christian life, in mentoring maybe just helping you along in your Christian experience. But there is a part of you that is uniquely the character that God put you here to be. And you need to take that special reasoning and practice yourself to the place where other people do not direct and guide the way you are as the person God made you. And for that reason, it is very dangerous to get on a bandwagon where I want to just watch everybody. I observe everybody's life, and that's who I'm going to be like, and I'm going to be like this person or that person. You need to focus on Jesus Christ alone for that. Because he cannot use you to His expertise if you are trying to mimic everyone else's life. I don't care how defeated you feel at times. Folks, you have to personally be the person God wants you to be special. So don't undermine your worth by comparing yourself with others. That's the first point we wanted to think about. Point number two. Don't take for granted the things closest to your heart. Cling to them as you would your own life, for without them, life is meaningless. And I have a feeling that there are a lot of people in this world today, and sorry to say, even in the Christian realm, first of all, we have Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the Lord of glory. And he is the one that makes us who we are. And not just that, life needs to carry meaning because of that experience. When Christ saved us and made us his, brought us into his kingdom, we've become the person that he wants us to be. And life becomes meaningless if we don't, if we start taking the things for granted that are closest to us. And I'm talking about the idea of when Brian Dyson juggled and gave the illustration of juggling balls, he said the work is like a rubber ball. And how many jobs did some people change and made it, got another job? And it keeps coming back and you have a job over and over. Work becomes work. But folks, when we lose out and we start losing family, health, and friends in the spirit, we start becoming that lonely person we're talking about, and life becomes meaningless. Here in Matthew chapter 22, and you're all familiar, I believe Daryl even mentioned about this script, these two verses. But Matthew chapter 22 in verses 35 to 39, the Bible tells us here that then one of them, which was a lawyer, talking about Jesus, was challenged and questioned. And he asked him a question, tempting him. They were always trying to trap Jesus, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength." Or with it doesn't say strength, but it says with thy heart, soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, why is it so often that we as God's children get ourselves derailed by the things of this world, maybe, or by the relationships we have with people and all those kinds of things? We ought to be the most connected individuals within the realm of Scripture as Christians, that we do not struggle, or we don't need to struggle with having those times with people that we cannot connect with them. I have learned through my life's experiences that sometimes I lay down my own personal, may I say, inclination or the way I want to do something because of another individual probably has their preference, and I will give in to that to stay at a place of peace. And because I recognize that family is more important to me and friends than me always trying to have my own way. Folks, as God's children, we are called to be bearing and forbearing, giving and forgiving. Relationships are so important. They're like a glass ball. If they fall, they will get nicked, damaged, scuffed, marked, or even shattered for that reason. So don't take for granted the things closest to your heart. And sometimes it's not always easy to do it. But when you do, you will find that that relationship you have with that individual or that person or that family or whatever will stay in a better connected way than me trying to prove my point, even if I know I'm right. If you follow what I'm saying, conversationally, sometimes things are said that can disconnect us from someone, somewhere, somehow. And let's be mature enough in our Christian experience that we are willing to lay down our personal preferences, our own rights. We don't take relationships for granted. Well, point number three, don't be afraid to learn. Knowledge is weightless. A treasure, we're thinking about treasured thoughts. A treasure you can always carry easily. Did you get that? Don't be afraid to learn. Do I know it all? Do I know everything that I need to know? Well, I learn a lot of things in life, still at my age. And I don't forget too easily. We had a problem with our AC or something. And John Weidman sent a worker to come and do the repair. And he was in a hurry. He was in a bustle. And he's kind of an interesting guy. I like to talk to him. But he was really talking, and he was getting his stuff done and everything. And I said, I don't know what I said to him anymore. I was trying to think in my brain what I had told him. But all of a sudden, this man stopped, and he took interest in what I was saying. How do you feel when somebody just walks away and they're over here working and they don't even know that you almost exist when you're trying to get a message across? But this guy, and what really got to me when I got his attention, he walked over and he laid down whatever he was doing and he put his hands behind his back like this and he just stood there and listened to me. I thought, wow. This is impressive. That's what really got to me, is how he folded his hands in back of his back and he just listened. I had to think, he probably felt that I was going to get his best attention if he expresses himself with his actions, not being doing something or busy doing something, to where he probably only half heard what I was saying and probably the other half he never even took in. But you think that through. Folks, we need people that listen to us, but we also need to learn to be a good listener and see what other people have to offer and what they have to say to us. And we can maybe glean some interesting thoughts that you and I need to accomplish to grasp a hold of. And the other side of it is, do you get too much Bible? Another place we learn, and I'm in the same boat with you. I told my wife already, I don't know how knowledgeable I would be to the Bible if I wouldn't have become a preacher. I sometimes wonder, but it's very important. Let's never neglect our duty as God's children to take the Bible and read it and let it express itself to us. Maybe at times we need to fold our hands behind our back and get disconnected from all our office work and everything else and be sure that when we read the Bible, we are reading the Bible to take it in and apply it, not just read it because out of duty we need to read it. But in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, the Bible says in verse 15 that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if we were to challenge each other, folks, if you're as human as I am, maybe as the Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved. And it says that a workman that needs not to be ashamed. What does that really mean? Well, if I were to ask you, I want you to raise your hand and tell me how much Bible you've been reading lately. Would you be ashamed this morning, as the Bible says here? I think as we relate to each other, we express our lives and our hearts to each other, and we put our hands behind our back and listen to someone, We need to do the same thing when we're reading the Bible, because Jesus Christ, the Word, is expressing itself to our life, our life, our lives within our hearts. That is where it dwells. And I believe Daryl said this morning that he doesn't force himself on no one. He wants to be in a good relationship with us. And I had to think about God. How often would God be standing there with his hands behind his back, looking at us and letting us express ourselves? Do you know he does want a good relationship? He don't need to do that. He knows everything already. But does he need to do that? Well, we sure do. Psalm 90, verse 12. There's a verse there I'd like to read. The Bible tells us here to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And there was a, in the beside the still waters, the editor, people had wrote them some letters wondering what the age bracket was of the individuals that wrote the devotionals for Beside the Still Waters. Beside the Still Water. He said, waters are water. I think it's singular. Anyway, they did a statistics, and they found that the majority of the ones that wrote those were senior elderly people. And they were concerned that the newer generation and the one prior to that that's just brand new coming in, were they going to be available to write devotionals in their lives, or was technology going to take them to a place where they can't even express themselves properly? And I think about that. I'm from the older school, I guess. I'm not quite as techie as a lot of people. It'd take me probably a whole year study to try and learn everything. Podcasts and this and that, and I don't know what they call everything, but I'd even have to learn all the names of everything that's in technology. But when we think about that, there is a part of us, dear folks, we can never get away from the fact that God wants us to program ourselves to be still before him. And I believe that's where it behooves us, when knowledge needs to be gleaned into our hearts, that is abstracted from God putting it there. And so often, I think we just go over the surface. And because of our technological ways we are operating in the younger and younger generations, it's getting really difficult for people to find themselves still before God. And I bring this all as a challenge, and I want to encourage us, but we need to realize that we don't need to be afraid to encounter risks by taking chances, that we learn how to be brave. And when I say that, I mean there is a part of us that says, yes, I listen to people's personal preferences. I hear their concerns. I am challenged by what they have to say. But there is a time and place in your personal life that you got to make a choice. I am going to decide the direction I must take in order to serve God faithfully. And I believe that's the part of us that will make us the person we are, the character we have. Here in our text this morning, in Ephesians chapter 4, I'd like to read verse 28, thinking about this idea of how in our lives we need to take chances, and we need to be thinking things through in our mind and our brain and keeping it alive and fresh. But here in the Bible, it says in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And when we think about our work and our lifestyle and how we do things and how we live, this part plays into the whole concept of the work we have, bringing it into the place of where it can become any relational thing, relationship thing to people as we touch their lives. And that's where I think we need to be very careful how we express ourselves. Also in Ephesians 5:17, the Bible says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise," and notice what it says then, "don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Not everybody else's will, but what the will of the Lord is for your personal life. And this goes back to the first comment of how we need to be willing and able to adjust ourselves into God's perfect will and not everybody else's. You got to somewhere establish yourself in what you believe and know. It needs to happen. It needs to happen. Point number four. Don't let your life slip through your fingers by living in the past or dreaming about the future. By living your life one day at a time, you will live all the days of your life. Here in our text, in chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Another verse I want to read is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Thinking about how our lives are lived for the moment today. And when the Bible often expresses itself, it doesn't do it by years, but it says days, as you see the days approaching. Be aware. But here in chapter 2, verse 3 of Philippians, the Bible says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." And that is, don't forget, a person's greatest emotional need is to feel appreciated. And how often do we express ourselves? How often, parents, I probably never did it enough, how often do we appreciate and express our hearts and say to our children, "That was a wonderful job you did," but let them do something not right and we'll soon express ourselves in the other direction. Not good, not good. But everyone needs to feel appreciated some way, shape, or form. And let's be very careful to be encouraging people in that manner of way. It says here that we should have the same love and in one accord and be of one mind. And it also expresses itself in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. I'd like to turn there for that verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. The Bible says here, "Be kindly, affection one to another, with brotherly love." Now, until the brotherly love part of our hearts in Christ is in place in the proper perspective, we can never fulfill the last part of this. It won't be a heartfelt, a Christ-loving felt experience in telling someone. It says we should be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. Then it says, "in honor, preferring one another." Is that always easy to do? Or do we find ourselves too often finding fault, being a critic? We are not expressing our hearts with appreciation. We need help in that sometimes. But it can be accomplished, and we can arrive there. It's all in how we condition ourselves to be the characteristic person we are inside. Point number five. Don't give up when you still have something to give. Then when you think about that, nothing is really over until the moment you stop trying. Sometimes we express ourselves in our Christian walk and we say, phew, boy, it's getting tough. And I'm thinking about that idea of how, and I believe Daryl expressed that this morning too. Sometimes the Christian life gets harder and difficult in a sense. I mean, we look forward to what we talked about, heavenly home. But what about our Christian life in staying faithful and persevering to the end, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10? We need to be conditioned to where we will not, we just won't give in to the mimics of the devil. But we will be very careful to continue on, because nothing really is done and finished until we have stopped trying or quit in life. And we can't afford that. I'd like to turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 6 and 11, to 11. 1 John chapter 4, verses 6 to 11. Be there in a minute. Here the Bible says, "For we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." Talking about expressions here, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth and knoweth not God, for God is love. And then it goes on and says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." This goes back to our Sunday school lesson. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That is not a feeling. That is a command. Folks, if we are going to express God from the angle of who he is, his love is going to transmit itself out of our lives into other people's lives. That's how the Holy Spirit works. And it accomplishes that which is going to glorify the Lord. But it says here that he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means that his explains why we do not express ourselves out of our own feelings in a relational experience of spiritual things of ourselves, but it's always the Spirit of God connecting itself between my life and your personal life. Do we understand that this morning? And that is what makes us a collected group of believers functioning together as a congregation. Don't shut, and the last point, number six is, don't shut love out of your life by saying it's impossible to find it. The true love of Jesus Christ in our lives can always be found. And the quickest way to receive love is to give it. The fastest way to lose love is to hold it too tightly. And the best way to keep love is to give it wings, or spreading it out and leaving it flow to individuals and people. The best way to do that. And we must always remember that. Let's never forget a person's greatest needs, and sometimes you and I don't know that need, but on the other hand, God knows it in another person. And if we are connected in the Spirit of God to other individuals' lives, we will express into their life what they're going to need for the moment. For the moment. So love needs to be expressed. If you read the book of John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, I didn't do a calculation on it, but I wonder how often the word love is expressed and mentioned there. It is often, very, very often. He expresses himself a lot about love and what it means to love others. The last point, point number 7, don't run through life so fast that you forget not only where you've been, but also where you are going. And I guess the challenge to us with this point is live for the moment. Ephesians chapter 5, if we go back to our text. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. The Bible says here, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. And that redeeming the time doesn't mean to try to cram everything in one day that you think you need to get accomplished. But that redeeming the time means that for that moment that you have, seize it, use it, and accomplish it at the moment, right at the time. God is intervening himself in your life daily into other people's lives. And when we think about all the things that are going on in family, in health, and friends, and the Spirit connects us to their lives, that is the precious side of life. That is the part of us that needs to relate to others. Let's remember something. Living for the moment can help us to collect our life together, may I say. When I say that, I mean, sometimes we try to figure out our future way out ahead. Or we try to go back and see where we've come from and all the things that happened. And I need to make all this happen because of where I've come from back here. Well, I'm saying to this morning, I gather from Scripture and what it means for us to live life at its fullest is to take the moment we have now, just now. It is a precious moment given by God as each moment moves on. And when we experience that, we can live life in the fullest of not, and we all talk about it, we're so busy, life escapes us, it gets away. But there is a part of us also needs to experience not being so pushed in life that we think we need to make everything happen. Because if that were the case, it would take me 1,000 years, probably. And you'd almost have to live as long as Methuselah. But I don't know how many, well, Dan knows him, Jason Seibel. You met Jason. And Jason worked with me for the last, I think it's around 3 years. And he's been helping me finish a truck that we were finishing for Glenwood Foods. And the truck left. And I haven't really seen Jason around much since. But yesterday, Jason came. And it's interesting, as he came there to my place, he had a few hours. I had to pay him for labor yet. And we took care of that. Then he sat there in the chair across from my office desk. And we were discussing a few things, talking about this and that. And I said, so what are your plans from here on? I sensed he probably wanted to be freed up. And I said, the door is always open, but you do what you want to do. He said, well, I'm 70 now. He just turned 70 back in spring, maybe summer. I'm not sure what the birthday was anymore, but he had a big birthday party for himself. He had a 70th birthday party he made for himself. He had it up at Brickerville. He invited us. We didn't get there because we had other obligations. But through the whole experience, I don't know how many he invited, 300 to 400 people. It's interesting. I mean, he's a guy that he really feels life in himself as a whole. He really takes things to heart. And as we talked about this, I was sensing that probably he had other goals. So I said, well, if we don't really do any project here, what are you planning to do? And you know what he said? He said, well, I have a friend that has this cancer, and that person has a sickness, and this person this and that, and they can't get around no more. And all these individuals, different people that he knew, he said, I'm going to go around visiting. I said, on your free days, you're going to go visiting? Yeah, he said, that's my plan at this point. He wants to go visiting people. Boy, I felt he put me to shame. He cares about people. He really does. And as he said that, he said that he'll just, at random, day by day, when he has the opportunity, he'll think of these individuals he wants to visit. He said, because I have experienced and lost a lot of friends that I have known. And he said, it's kind of difficult. And he said, he realizes now that he's 70, maybe he needs to have time to go and see people. I said, well, good for you. That's a good goal. I just felt really good for him. And he really expressed himself. And he just said he doesn't know how it's going to work, but he's going to make it happen. I said, well, blessings to you. But with all of that, what I want to conclude with is that life is not a race. Life is not a race, but a journey to be savored every day as you go on in life. Remember that. Let's not jam everything into our lives that we have no room to go sideways anymore. But let's find ourselves not racing around trying to accomplish everything, and take our life as a journey. That makes a difference. If you go on a journey and you want to smell the roses, you got to take your time. But you're going to find the best experiences come out of something like that. And life being raced through does not have beneficial benefits to it. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 23, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I believe as we step in the principles of God and we follow him in the way he wants us to, we will accomplish these very tender items that we talked about here this morning that Brian Dyson expressed. And I think we need to take it to heart. And I want to challenge us as Christians to be fulfilling that and get to a place where we can feel like, I shouldn't say feel, but where we feel we are, feel is all right. Feel we are accomplishing God's fullest experience in our hearts. I want to read a poem to you as we close here this morning. It's called One Day at a Time. There's a song like that. But the poem goes like this, and I quote, as I went through the day with its toil and care, I thought of the morrow and what I might bear. The clouds hung so ominous, frightful and low, reflecting my worries, stacked all in a row. Imagining sorrow and pain were my fate, anxiety built a deplorable state. Formidable, dark, the future appeared to drown any hope and bring what I feared. But then as the evening grew into the night, A palette of color impacted my sight. The blending of beauty clouds laced with pink, accented with silver, roused me to think. This life seemed so transient, that setting of sun, I regretted the worry and fretting I'd done. The burdens most likely I never must bear. Oh, why have I wasted these moments so rare? I missed all the blessings that I could have claimed while trusting the Savior, for this I'm ashamed. We're not even promised tonight or tomorrow, so why should I fret over future's dark sorrow? And then as the colors fast faded from sight and darkness stole in, I found my heart light. For our Savior's promise I took to be mine. Fear not, precious child. Take one day at a time. By Anita Martin. So I want to encourage us just to be connected to God's will as we go on in life and as we look to Him for our strength day by day, that we can find ourselves not in a race, but on a journey. God bless all of you for being here. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer if you can. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning so grateful for your love, provision, and care in so many ways. And Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, we thank you for Christ who died for us and gave his life so that we could experience eternal life. And I pray, oh Heavenly Father, that you would help us to find the direction and guidance for the blueprint you have for our lives every day. Help us to take one moment at a time. And Lord, not to race through life, but to find it as a place of opportunity to share your kingdom's work. And Lord, thank you for what you have done. And I pray that you would help us to understand that from the Bible, how to live that. Father, I pray for each one that's present here today, that you might be instrumental in guiding our lives from this week forward as you grant us life and health and strength, and help us to care about others and just commit our ways unto you. So Father, make us a blessing to yourself, and may you be glorified by all that's said and done in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.